This is Naked Astronomy, and this month we're coming from the National Astronomy Meeting in Manchester. Still to come, we'll hear how CubeSats can help us to understand space weather, and we'll discover an enormous tornado on the surface of the Sun. But first, what happened in the early universe? Millimeter wave telescopes are beginning to shed some light on some of the big questions about early star and galaxy formation. To find out more, I spoke to Bram Venemans from the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Heidelberg, and before him, Richard McMahon from the University of Cambridge.
One of the big questions in astronomy is, when did the first stars and galaxies form? And one of the ways we do this is just by looking for objects which are further and further away, because objects that are very far away, because of light travel time, we see those objects further back in the past. And last year, we found a new quasar with a redshift of 7.1, where the light left this quasar 750 million years after the Big Bang. What we would like to do is to measure simple things like the mass of the galaxy and what its chemical composition is. And in particular, what we're trying to do is, when the universe started at the Big Bang, the universe was mainly hydrogen and helium. And there were no chemical elements like iron, carbon, and oxygen. And so we want to try and look at these objects back in time and see, can we detect the chemical elements like carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen, and iron in them? Because that will tell us a bit about when did the chemical elements that are in our bodies and on Earth first form.
The heavier chemical elements, which astronomers confusingly call metallic, whereas chemists would quite clearly define them otherwise, are said to have formed inside stars. So presumably, in order for you to see these, there must have been at least one generation of stars existing before that in order to produce these heavier elements. 750 million years after the Big Bang doesn't seem like a very long time to have had that turnover of stars.
Yes and no. Stars like the Sun have ages of 5 billion years. However, stars which have a mass of two or three times more massive than the Sun burn their fuel faster, because the gravitational potential of the stars means that the cores of these stars are hotter, and the nuclear fusion reactions that take place in stars which are, say, 10 times the mass of the Sun, those stars have lifetimes of only maybe 10 million years. And so these stars, I think the term is, they burn fast, die young.
Bram Venemans, you have been working on this project as well. What are the challenges of actually getting information about things that are so very distant?
The problem is, because these objects are so distant, they're also very faint. So what we did is, if we look for quasars, which is basically a very massive black hole where material is falling into, and it's getting heated and shines very brightly. I mean, because it's that bright, we can actually find it. The problem is that because it's so bright, it's very hard to see the galaxy surrounding the black hole. So the method we used to actually find it now works against us. So we have to find another way to actually see what the galaxy looks like and get rid of the very bright light from the accreting black hole.
When looking at stars, people often just literally place an opaque disk in the way and try and see around the star like that. I assume you can't do that for enormously distant quasars.
No. So the thing what we've been doing is, then we went to a different wavelength regime. So we went to millimeter wavelengths, where the accreting black hole is not so bright, and where the stars and the material surrounding the stars is actually much brighter. So we knew where to look, and then we used different telescopes to actually look for emission of the galaxy that where the black hole sits in.
And once you're doing that, can you just use standard spectroscopy in order to work out what the material must be?
It's not spectroscopy, but what you get in the end is a spectrum. Only the whole method is slightly different. You combine the radio waves, and then you get the spectrum out of it.
And when you were able to get this spectrum, what did you see?
So we saw two things. We saw the glow of carbon, which is a sign that gas is cooling. And we saw the glow of dust. And both these things point towards that there are stars being formed in the galaxy at a pretty high rate, like 100 times more than in our Milky Way. And furthermore, because we do see this glow of dust and carbon, it means there is a lot of carbon, that exactly what we wanted to find. It means that prior to when this light was emitted, there had to be a lot of stars being formed.
So not only do you have evidence of a high rate of star formation 750 million years after the Big Bang, but you also have the evidence left behind that there must have been a very high rate of star formation before that. So it also helps to inform our models and our general understanding of the history of the universe.
Yes, that's right. So basically everything we do needs to be explained. The further we push back, some models might have to change something to actually allow for this to happen.
Richard, what does this mean really for how we now move forward? Now that we've got this carbon signal that far back, we know that there must have been lots of star formation then and before it. What can we now do to try and answer some more of these questions?
Well, there's a number of things that we can do. One simple thing we can do with this particular quasar is look for some other chemical elements like oxygen and nitrogen, because the ratios of those elements tell you something about the type of star. And possibly indirectly, we could estimate the average mass of star that went into making this carbon. If we can infer the mass of star that went into it, we can possibly put an age. This type of observation had been carried out at lower redshifts. It's very challenging, but there's a new telescope that is just coming on into operation in Chile, where one of the observations we can do now is actually take a much more higher spatial resolution of this galaxy. And possibly we can find out whether this galaxy is made up of multiple components. Because one prediction of formation of galaxies is that they form from merging of smaller units. And so one expectation is that we would have, if we can look at this galaxy in higher spatial resolution, the carbon signal will break up into multiple clumps. But the other thing is that we have a research program which over the next few years will hopefully find a number more of these objects, because if you want to test a theory, you need more than one object, because this object could be pathological in some way. And so we really need to get a statistical sample of, say, 10 objects to see whether this object is average.
So we'll be needing more of these galaxies before we can really start to understand star formation in the early universe.